Okay, today's daf is Nida Yudchet. We're going to start at the top, but let's just go back for a quick review. And for this, I made a sheet. We had four different opinions. Okay, we have this idea of there's different parts of the woman's body. There's the, okay, in the Lashon of the rabbis, the cheder, the uterus, the prosdora, the vaginal canal, probably that's what it means, the aliyah, which is either the bladder or the ovaries. It's a little hard to understand them as the ovaries because it seems to place them only on one side, and the ovaries are actually on both sides. But again, as I mentioned yesterday, the Chatam Sofer says that it's not, he couldn't figure out the connection between this and modern medicine. It seems to be very hard to figure out exactly what they're referring to, so we'll just sort of have to take it as this is their way of understanding things.
And if it's the bladder, then they make no reference to the ovaries at all.
Right. So if it's the bladder, then they're not talking about the ovaries.
But no, I mean in any other context.
Either way,
here,
they're looking for something that might release blood. So
Right. They're trying to figure, exactly. So the bladder actually makes a lot more sense. In fact, I noticed the Koran chooses the Koran points out that there's a debate, but chooses the bladder in their interpretation because I guess it makes just more sense that there's only one rather than two. So again, we have this, however they understood it, okay, we'll just have to take it as fact in their world that there was something on the side that was higher up than the uterus, and there was a little vestibule that connected that. That's called the lul, okay? So from the lul and outside, right, meaning toward the direction of, let's just call it the bladder, we're going to assume if it's coming out that side. Again, you're finding this in the vaginal canal. How you're getting exactly which side the blood is also not so simple to figure out. But if it's on that side, we're going to assume. And as again, what are we going to assume? That's what's going to be the whole debate. But if it's menaluva lefnim, like sort of, again, what is more inside, which is right forward maybe, that's going to be the side where the uterus is. And menaluva lachutz is going to be the side where the let's just call it the bladder right now, where the bladder is, and therefore we're going to be able to figure it right, the aliyah, according to their Lashon. Then the question is, so okay, we assume these are the two sides. The question is, if blood is there, what do we say? So either Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Yehuda said, Sveiko Tameh, if it's on one side, right, the uterus side, and Sveiko Tahor, if it's on the aliyah side. However, right, it's unclear exactly what they mean by this. Sfeiko tameh, does that mean if it's sefek, it's surely tameh? And if it's sefek, on the other hand, it's surely tahor. It's not 100% clear. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, thought that they meant sfeiko tameh means it's only tameh misafek and questioned. And then Rav Huna says, no. When they learned this from me, what I meant was vadai tameh. It's clear on the uterus side, it's 100% tameh. And on the other side, we're going to call it sefek tameh. To which Abaye says, I don't get what you're saying, because either you're worried the blood's mixed around, in which case both should be safek, or you're not worried, in which case one should be vadai tameh and one should be vadai tahor. So all that's charted out. And then what we started at the end of yesterday's daf was to take this braita of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Katina. Each had a different version of the braita. One said damanim tzavet prosdor is vadai tameh. That was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Katina said it's safek tameh. So we said, Abaye, according to his first Lashon, that we go by Chashash and everything Safek, holds like Rav Katina against Rabbi Chiya's version. And the second Lashon of Abaye, where he says we go by Chazaka, where we say it's Vadai, obviously holds by Rabbi Chiya, who says it's Vadai Tameh. Again, the prosdor that we must be talking about here, according to this, is on the side of the uterus side, right? Which is Minalul Vifnim. Okay, Vilifnim.
But if it's enough, the upper cavity, aren't there two accents? There's a woman has two
I see, right. So maybe it's coming from there, you're saying. But that doesn't seem to be what they're saying, because they're talking about dam that you find internally. So if it's the assumption is also, okay, the better way I understood this, I forgot, I wanted to mention this. What they're really talking about is if you kind of find it higher up, because they're saying from the vestibule that goes from the bladder, let's assume it's the bladder, to the canal there, like there's this. And if it's higher up, like further in, and further, if it's lower down, that's another way of possibly looking at it. We're talking about if you're further in, then it's closer to where the bladder is. Again, I don't want to get into too much of exactly where this is, because, I mean, unless you think you have it clear, you think it makes perfect sense to you.
No,
that's where we're finding the blood.
Well, I don't understand. They're just saying that there's just one exit, but there's
right,
two
but
exits.
There's two exits. Yeah,
I wouldn't compare this to an anatomical reality.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't think they mean right. I don't think they're viewing this in the real sense of what it was. Again, that's part of the problem, that they're talking about things that they didn't exactly understand how it all worked. So they had some vision in their head, you know, and they tried to... Anyway, okay. So now we're back to... We're starting on the third line of Yuched Amud Aleph. Ela l'rami bar Shmuel l'rav Yitzchak b'reid... No, did I skip something? No, l'rav Huna. We're on the first line. L'rav Huna, the first line of Yuched, lo pligi, okay, again, according to Rav Huna, what did he say? If it's minalu v'lifnim, it's for sure tameh. And minalu v'lachutz, it's safek tameh. Okay, so now, what does he say? Lo pligi, ka minalu v'lifnim, ka minalu v'lachutz. Ah, Rabbi Chia and Rav Katina's versions of saying, one said vadai tameh and one said safek tameh, that works perfectly according to Rav Huna. You don't even have to say he disagrees with anyone. He could just say, Rabbi Chia was talking about the case that Rav Huna thinks is vadai tameh, which is if it's minalu v'lifnim, and Rav Katina, his version of the Braita that says it's safek tameh, was talking about the case that he claims is safek tameh, minalu v'lachutz. So that's a very easy way to work out the two opinions. But Ella, here comes the big problem. L'rami bar Shmuel l'Rav Yitzchak b'reid de Rav Yehuda de Amre minalu v'lachutz veko tahor. They think minalu v'lachutz is tahor, actually. So, and minalu v'lifnim is veko tameh. So, hane b'may mitukma. So, what could they be referring to, these cases? In other words, they don't have anything that explains that it's vadai tameh. So, how can you explain the braita, certainly of Rabbi Chia? So, what do they say? Minalu v'lifnim. So minalu v'lifnim lema pliga de Rabbi Chia. Sorry, let's read it again. Hainu b'may metukma minalu v'lifnim. If you want to say it's talking about minalu v'lifnim, so lema pliga de Rabbi Chia. If it's talking about minalu v'lifnim, they say it's only safek. So are you going to say that they're cholek on Rabbi Chia's version, which theoretically you could have said? They disagree with Rabbi Chia. They hold by Rav Katina, but they say lo kasha. This more matches what I was talking about earlier, which is, and this is an explanation, they didn't really give this earlier, unless maybe we say that's what they meant, they just didn't say it, but if it's lower down or higher up, this is where I say it depends whether you find it lower down or higher up. If you find it bekarka posdor, then we're going to say that clearly came from the uterus, but if it's higher up, which is kind of above the level of the uterus, then we're going to say it's likely came, or at least it's only suffic, right? It can't be higher really above the uterus, otherwise it for sure can come from the uterus, but a little higher up, maybe it's coming actually from the bladder. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'shlosha mekomot halchuba chachamim achar harov v'asawa kivadai. So Rabbi Yochanan makes the following statement, which is going to be very odd in our mind. There's three places, it sounds like only three places, where the rabbis followed the majority and turned it into a vadai. Okay? Now, why is that weird? Because usually we follow Rov, and Rov is kovea, right? We generally say you can hold by Rov even vadai. But he says there's three places where the rabbis hold by the majority and turn it into a vada. Makor, shilia, chaticha. Okay, we're now going to talk about all these cases. Makor, hadamaran. That's our case. Rabbi Yochanan obviously holds that. We're going to say, even though it's safek, we're not sure where the blood is coming from. If it's minalu v'lifnim, it's vadai tameh, like Rav Huna says. So he says, here's a case where most of the blood comes from the uterus, and therefore we can assume the blood is for sure from the uterus. Again, the major nafkamina, if we say it's vadai tameh, means sofim alavata truma, right? Or if you went into the mikdash, you would bring a korban chatat. So that's makor. Shilia, here's case number two, ditnan. Shilia bebet habayit, shilia babayit habayit tameh. Okay, if you have a shilia in the house, okay, what's a shilia? Shilia is generally, in modern Hebrew, we call it the placenta. But here, seems to be the placenta or the fetal membrane or even the umbilical cord. Okay, so you have, it's okay, in the Quran, they actually chose to call it the afterbirth. Okay, so you have the afterbirth. Then you have it in the house. Now, this is a case where the woman miscarried. So they say habayit tameh. Okay, because the assumption is what? That there must have been a fetus in the, you know, whether it's the fetal membrane or in the umbilical cord or in the placenta. The losha shilia vlad, it's not that we view the placenta or any of these parts as a vlad, but ela she'en shilia below vlad. It's not that this is a vlad, it's that there's generally when you have the placenta, let's say, or the umbilical cord, it doesn't It doesn't exist unless there's a Vlad, so we can assume there was a Vlad, even though we didn't actually see a Vlad. Okay, so obviously we're talking about a miscarriage situation here, and we're going to say the house has Tumat Mayit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimok HaVlad, Al Shelo Yatza. It could be that the Vlad kind of disintegrated before it came out, and it's not existent anymore. There really is no Vlad, and the house is not Tameh. So what do you see here? According to Tanna Kamma, right, Rabbi Yochanan saying, we hold like Tanna Kamma that we treat the Shiliah as a Vadai, and there's Tameh Mayit in the house. Chaticha, what's a chaticha? Okay, getting even more, a little more graphic about this miscarriage. Titnan hamapelet yad chatucha veregel chatucha. Okay, she miscarries, and what you see in her miscarriage is a hand or a leg. Imot me'a leida ve'en choshashim shema miguf atumbat. We can assume that she's tumat leida. Okay, now we're not talking about a mate, we're talking about as regards to the woman. Is this considered a tumat leida or not? So we say she's tume'a tumat leida, and we're not worried that maybe it came from a non-formed body. Okay, if there's a non-formed fetus, then she wouldn't have tumat leida. So that's another case where we've, according to Rabbi Yochanan, these are the three cases where something was safek and we treat it as vadai. Here in leida, right, becomes a big kula, because if she's bleeding beyond day 14, we can assume it's dam tohar. And then she's permitted to her husband. So it's a big jump to say we treat her as vadai, because then it creates this big kula that her dam is only dam tohar and not dam tuma. So now they say Vituleka. Now we get to our famous Tesha Chanuyot, right? The 10 stores, 9 kosher, 1 non-kosher. Baha'i Kanat, and this is our big classic question, right? What do you mean? There's only 3 cases where you follow Rov and turn it into Vadai? What about Tesha Chanuyot, Detanya, our famous case of Tesha Chanuyot, Detanya, which is really Eser Chanuyot, Tesha Chanuyot Kula Mochot Basar Shchuta. You have 9 stores that all sell kosher meat, Ve'achat Mocheret Basar Nevela, and 1 is sells non-kosher meat. Ve'lakach Me'achat Mehen, Ve'ino Yodea Me'ezen Lakach. Guy goes into a store, buys a piece of meat, but then all of a sudden realizes, oh, you know what? I'm not sure which store I bought it from. Speko Asur. Okay, even though 9 out of 10 stores are kosher, and you might say we follow majority, in this case, this is what we call kol kavua kemechtzal mechtadami. Each one was in a fixed location. He went into a fixed location. He bought something. Our safek right now is, did he go into a kosher store or a non-kosher store? And it's a 50-50 chance that, even though it's, right, in the world of statistics, it's really 9/10 of a chance he bought kosher meat, but they view it, since it's kavua, it was taken from a fixed place, the halacha views it as, this is a 50-50 chance that it was tameh, it was non-kosher. So, but, ubenimtza, but if he found a piece of meat in the middle of the street, outside these 10 stores, then it's not coming from a fixed place. In that case, halacha char harov. There we follow the rov, and we allow him to eat the meat. So what do you see here? Here's a case of rov. We follow rov. We allow him to eat the meat. Vadai. Clearly vadai. If it was sepik, we'd say, oh, just stay on the safe side. Don't eat the meat. So what's the obvious answer? If you've gotten used to Gemara already, tuma kamrinan, isor lo kamrinan. When he said the following 3 things are where we follow the rov as vadai, he was only referring to the following 3 things in the category of tuma, but not in the category of kosher, non-kosher. Okay, that sounds like a good answer. However, the Gemara is going to say, right, we're much more familiar with the Tesha Chanuyot, although in this case we've also seen the Tesha Tzvardein. Okay, v'ha'ika Tesha Tzvardein, 9 frogs, v'sheretz achat b'nehem. A frog is not a sheretz, that's metame. So if you have a dead frog, it's not metame, too much sheretz. But you have mixed up with these 9 frogs, you also have a 10th sheretz. Okay, the 10th one happens to be a sheretz that causes tuma. So if he touches one of them, but he doesn't know, so this is a case of kavua, kol kavua kemechtzal nechtzedamu. So, now, what do we say if it's 50-50 in this case? Well, we don't say necessarily, we're going to say it's for sure he's tameh. It depends where it was, because we have laws, general laws of spekot when it comes to tuma and tahara. What are our spekot? Our spekot are that if it's bereshut hayachid, like the sota, speko tameh, then it's going to be tameh. If it was bereshit haravim, speko tahor. So dafka, the case where it's like the Tesha Chanuyot, where it's out in the middle of the public, dafka there, we're going to say it's not tameh, because it is. What do we basically say? Well, it's a 50-50 sefek. 50-50 sefek depends, whether you're in Rishud HaRabim, we're going to say 50-50, oh, you're Tahor. But if it's in Rishud HaYachid, we're going to say 50-50, you're Tameh. Again, that's not so important for our purposes because they were not following the Rov. But Ubenimsa, but if he, oh, right, if it's in this case, he, right, one got separated from the bunch and he comes in contact with it and we just don't know, right, he touches it and we just don't know which one that was it that got separated. That's Benimsa Halacha Chararov. And in that case, we're going to go by the majority and he's going to be Tahor. So what do you see here? That if Rabbi Yochanan was saying, three in the world of Tuma, where we go, we follow the Rov and we treat it as Vadai, well, here we have four. So what are you going to say? We're going to narrow it even further. Tuma de Isha Kamrinan. Tuma ba'alma lo kamrinan. He wasn't even talking about three cases of general Tuma. He was saying three cases of Tuma regarding a woman, right? Because these all related to a woman. The Makor, right? Dam coming, again, there are women in different cases. One is blood coming out, right? What do we assume its status is? The next one is the Shiliah. Is it Matame Tuma mate? And the third is a leg or an arm comes out or a hand comes out of a vlad, right, comes from a miscarriage. Do we assume that it was, right, we assume it was a fully formed baby for Tumat Leida. So it's three different Tumot, but they all relate to women. He was really talking about Tumah in the realm of women. Okay. Now they say, so Tumah Ba'am Lo Kamrinan, Baha Ika, but now isn't there another case? Hada Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Avra Banahar, Vihi Pila, Mivi'ah Korban, V'ne'echal. So, if a woman is walking in a river and she has a miscarriage, what does she do? So, what happened? In other words, the point is she miscarries, but we don't know what? If it's a vlad or not. Sometimes women miscarry, right? A ruach or something. We saw that of kind of this phantom pregnancy. So, what happened? She miscarried in the water. There's nothing to show for it, okay? Because it kind of just fell into the water. So, what do? Well, she brings a korban. Remember the korban yoledet. She's bringing a korban, these two birds. And the ola, olata of, gets burned entirely. But the chatata of gets eaten by the kohanim. The meat gets eaten. Not only does she bring a korban, but it's even ne'echal. Usually when we have a suffix, what do we say? Well, the meat doesn't get eaten. But in this case, it's a vada. So what do they say? Halachacha rov nashim. And why do we assume that she brings a korban? Because we follow the majority of women. V'rov nashim v'lab ma'al yaldan. Most women give birth to, right, even or miscarry real fetuses. So therefore, that must be it. So now, again, we have a question. This is a halacha by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's an Emora. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan mention the halacha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? So now we're going to again say, when he said three, okay, so we already said when he said three, he meant only in the realm of Tumah. Then we said, not only in the realm of Tumah, but Tumah relates to a woman. Now we're going to narrow it even further. Matnitin kamrinan, shmatata lo kamrinan. He was referring to only Mishnayot, things, Mishnayot and Braitot, things from the Tannaitic time period, but not things that other Emoraim said. Okay, what he was saying is, there's three cases in the time of the Mishnah that related to Tumah, relating to women, that we follow the Rov and we turn it into, we say we follow Rov and Rov turns into Vadai. This is very difficult because he did seem to say only three things and it sounded like he was saying really only these three things. However, you have to remember that the Gemara is coming and looking through its prism and saying it doesn't make any sense what Rabbi Yochanan's saying. We have to make some sort of sense out of it because there's way more than three cases. And in that, they narrow until Rabbi Yochanan's statement makes sense. Now they're going to bring another question. The Haki Ata Rabin Amar, when Rabin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, he said, Mati Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina Toa. Okay, he said that Rabbi, he told us the following. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Chanina brought a question of a woman who is Toa. Okay, this is a woman who, it's a bit of a strange case. We're going to learn it more on Kaftet, so we'll wait till we get there really to get into all the details. But basically, he brought up against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, what did we say now? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi shouldn't bother us because it's said by an Emora, not a Tana, and therefore it's off his list. But now they're going to say that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina questioned Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's halacha that we follow Rov Nashim from this case of an Isha who's To'ah. Okay, this is a woman who's not sure if she gave birth at all, and if she did, she's not sure when she gave birth, and she's not sure, and her whole thing is we're not sure what status she is. And if she gave birth, did she give birth to a male or female, and then when, and what, you know, what she's up to in terms of her counting. It's like a whole bunch of messes in that case. and it's a Tanaitic source, and he brought up that source against Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and Rabin himself says, "Belo yadana mai tshuvta," and I just don't get why that source of Torah is a question on Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So now, what does that have to do with anything? So how does the Gemara understand Rabin when he says, "I don't understand why this knocks out, why this is a question against Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi?" They think that what he meant was, "My love," is it not that he meant lo tiuvta, ela siata? Doesn't it mean that he meant, I don't know why they jumped to the conclusion that this is what he meant, but that he meant this braita doesn't, or this case of Toah from the Tanaim that they were discussing, not only is it not a question on him, but it's actually a support of him. Now, if, so that's their Gemara's assumption. If we assume that the braita was brought as a support for Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, in other words, again, it was brought as a question, but Rabin comes and says, "I don't know what kind of a question. It seems to me like it should support, not go against." If that's the case, then it looks like even the Tanaim had this halacha of Rabbi Yehoshua that we follow Rov Nashim. That's the assumption right now. But then they say, no, you don't have to assume that when Rabin said it's not a question, it must be a proof. No, Dilma lo tiuvta lo siata. Maybe it's not a question, it's also not a proof. And it's just because something can't knock him out doesn't mean it supports him. It just is irrelevant to his questioning. Okay, we'll learn more about that case when we get to it on Kaf Tet. So there we're finished with all our questions. We concluded that when Rabbi Yochanan said the following three things, we follow the robe as if it's Vadai. Then we basically say, okay, he was talking about women, he was talking about Tumah, women in Tumah, and only things that came up in the Tanaitic times, and not things that Amoraim talked about, cases of Amoraim. Okay, but now the assumption is, well, when you say three, you mean three and not more than three. So the whole question is, what case was he trying to exclude? Lemi'ute mai, what was he trying to exclude? Maybe, okay, we've talked about these concepts before. Sometimes you have rove. Rove pushes you one way. It says, we follow majority. But sometimes you could have a chazaka pulling it the other way. Chazaka means, right, like, women are b'chizkat tahara or something, right? That's a chazaka. We assume you're tahor until you become tameh. So when you have two conflicting, rove and chazaka, right? So maybe he's trying to say that when you have rov, we consider it as if it's vadai, but not when there's a chazaka pulling it in the other direction, right? So in that case, let's say you have rov with a chazaka pulling it the other way. The rov says it's tameh, but the chazaka is pulling it to say, oh no, she's not tameh, or something's not tameh. Til lo sarfina nalea tatruma. Maybe then you wouldn't burn truma for it because you're left in the suffix situation. Well, if that's the case, that he's trying to say rov. Rove is vadai, but rove, when there's a chazaka pulling against it the other direction, we don't treat it as a vadai, it's only a suffix. Well, that doesn't make sense that he'd be saying here these three things and not any others to exclude that, because he already said it somewhere else. V'hama Rabbi Yochanan chadazimna. He already said the following, that rove, when it has chazaka pulling it, and now we'll see an actual case, we're going to follow, right? We're going to follow the rove, but it's only going to be suffix and not vadai. So where did he say the following? Ditunan, as it says in the Mishnah, in Taharot, Tinok hanimtza b'tzad ha'isa. If you remember this, there's a child with, right, a young child with dough. Okay, we've seen this recently. Ubatzek biyado. And he has some dough, and he's next to the batch of dough, and he has some dough in his hand. Rabbi Meir mitaher, he says, it's tahor, the isa. V'chachamim mitam'im. Chachamim say, no, the isa is tameh. Why? Shedarko shel tinok letapeach. Generally, kids stick their hands in garbage and other things where there's shratzim, and likely the child is carrying tuma. And since he has batzek v'ado, we assume what? He stuck his hands into the dough, which means the dough is now tameh. V'amrinan, so now they try to explain what's the logic behind Rabbi Meir and what's the logic behind Chachamim. My time to Rabbi Meir, remember we talked about this very recently, that Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemiuta. Here's one of the cases where he's concerned for the minority of cases. To Rabbi Meir, my time to Rabbi Meir, what's his reason? Kasaval rov tinokot mitapchim. So it's true, the majority of tinokot do touch the garbage and other things. Umiut ein mitapchim. But the minority of them don't handle these type of things. V'isa zo b'cheskat tahara omedet. And the isa, remember, it's innocent to proven guilty. It's tahor unless we know it became tameh. So samach mi'uta lechazaka. So Rabbi Meir's opinion is mi'ut plus chazaka is greater than rov. Itra le ruba. So what he says is you have mi'ut that don't touch plus the chazaka that the dough is tahor. That overrides the rov of the tinokot. That's only if you count a mi'ut as being significant. The Rabbanan, who Rabbi Yochanan obviously follows, mi'uta keman delete dami. Right? So the mi'ut is considered as if it's nothing, because we don't hold by minority of cases. And therefore, what do you have? If you have ruba on one hand, the chazaka on the other hand, right? The rov is saying rov tinokot touch the shratzim, in which case rov tinokot or tmeim. You have chazaka on the other side saying the dough is the chazkat tahor. So what do we say? Rov v'chazaka, ruba adif. Okay, so that's the Mishnah so far. We still don't have Rabbi Yochanan. We wanted to say Rabbi Yochanan says somewhere else, right, that rov and chazaka, we don't follow, right, we don't go by the rov. Okay, so, we follow the rov, but it's not badai. Okay, so how are we going to see this? So here's your classic case. We have rov and chazaka. We say rov is adif. That's chachamim. Va'amar Rish Lakish mishum Rabbi Yoshaya, zoi chazaka sheshofin alei tatuma. So Rish Lakish says, this is a classic case where we say you have rov against chazaka. And Rish Lakish says, we follow rov. We're going to say the tino clearly messed up the isa. And we're actually going to, if it was truma, we burn it. Okay? This is vada. Comes Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein zo chazaka shesrofin alei tatuma. Okay? He says, no, we don't burn truma for this meaning. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, clearly, when you have rov and chazaka pulling against it, yes, we follow the rov, but not as vadai, only as safek. So now, if his three times he said we treat rov as vadai was to exclude this case where we don't treat chazak as vadai, well, he already said it. So he wouldn't need to say here three to exclude any others to exclude this case. Again, this case is just a paradigm for all cases of rov and chazaka. So again, you have rov in one direction pulling, you have chazak in the other. Rabbi Yochanan holds that's only safek. So it's true he holds that, but he didn't need to tell us that in that statement because he already said it somewhere else. So maybe it's something else that he's coming to exclude. Ela lemi'ute ruba de Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe he's coming to say that he doesn't hold by Rabbi Yehuda in this following case. Ditnan. Okay, here comes another Mishnah. This is the Mishnah Nida. Hamapelet chaticha. Im yesh im adam tme'a. Okay, a woman miscarries a piece of something, like a gush, you know, a clump. So if there's dam, tme'a, okay? If there's blood, she's going to be tme'a, like a nida. Not mishum leida, because it's not really a blood, it's just a piece. Okay, she's going to have tumat nida. Vim lav, and if there was no blood with this chaticha that came out of her body, since there's really no blood, and there's no blood, so she's to'oha. Okay, makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ben kach u ben kach tme'a. No matter what, she's tme'a, okay? So, now we're going to have to figure out what exactly their debate is about. What case? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Lo time Rabbi Yehuda, ela b'chaticha shel arba minei damim. Aval shar minei damim tehoha. It depends what color the piece was. If the piece that came out of her body was the color of one of the four damim. Now, this is interesting. We're going to see this on the next page. The next Mishnah starts off saying there's five types of damim that are tmeim b'isha. Five colors of dam. Seems weird here, they're talking about four, but they explain, the Mefreshim explain, one of the colors of dam is shahur, and shahur is just considered black. It's considered red that kind of spoiled. So really there's only four, it's just that black is an outgrowth of the red. Okay? So we'll get to what these five are. They're all different shades of red, really, other than the black. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that when Rabbi Yehuda says it's tameh, it's only if the piece that came out of her body was the color of one of the four types of dam. But if it was a different color, like yellow, green they talk about, again, I think green is more yellowish in their world, or clear, then she's tehoha. For Rabbi Yochanan, here comes Rabbi Yochanan, amar, shel arba minei damim, divrei kol tmeha. Forget Rabbi Yehuda, just Rabbi Yehuda says that, no. Both opinions would agree that if it comes out, now just remember, Tanakhama says if there's blood, she's tmeah, if not, she's tohora. He says, no. Everyone would agree that if the color of the thing that comes out is one of the blood colors, the bloods that are tmeim, then for sure she's tmeah. B'shel shar damim, divrei kol torah. And everyone agrees if it's the color of yellow, white, clear, something, then for sure she's torah. So then what's the machloket? Lo nechleku ela kishehi pila ve'eno yodat mahi pila. It's only if something came out, but it got lost before we even got to look at it. And she doesn't even know what color it is. Okay, so here comes Rabbi Yehuda Saval, Zil Batal Rov Chatichot. Rabbi Yehuda says, we follow Rov Chatichot. And Rov Chatichot shall arba mime damim havyan. And most Chatichot that come out of a woman's body when she has to miscarry something are generally of those bloody colors. V'Rabbanan Savre, Zil Batal Rov Chatichot lo amrinan. And the rabbis hold, no, we don't go by Rov Chatichot. Okay, in this case, since we don't have anything in front of us, we don't assume that what she miscarried was definitely problematic, and therefore she's tehora. So what do you see in this case? As we'd say, right, so why don't we follow? One second, we give them... Right. Why don't they think that? Because
Rabbi Yochanan teaches that Rabbi Yochanan did not go so far.
No, I know Rabbi Yochanan, but why would Chachamim hold that we don't follow the Rov? Zil bata Rov Chatichot lo amrinan, right? Why wouldn't they hold we follow Rov Chatichot?
He's like, there's no such majority.
Ah, because there isn't such a majority. In other words, I guess there is some. Okay,
so
right. There's Chazkat Torah, right. So there's Chazkat Torah,
yeah.
And in this case, we go by, right, this is again, so this would be a case where there's Chazaka pulling one way and Rov pulling the other way, and we don't hold by Rov Chatichot. I think it's actually, if it was Rov Chazaka, we follow Rov, that we already established, so we wouldn't need Rabbi Yochanan to say this. The point here is that Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't hold by this Rov. In other words, I disagree with that Rove. Rabbi, there's a debate here about the reality. Here again, it's rabbis talking about something that they don't ever see, which is they don't know what comes out of women's bodies when women miscarry various, I would say, items. It seems a little weird to talk about it like that, but that's what it seems to be saying. And whether they're bloody in color or they're not. And the question is, right, when Rabbi Yochanan said in three cases we say the Rove is Kovea, as if it's Vadai, he says, but not in this case. I disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks Rove, things that come out of women's bodies are that women miscarry, are of those four colors. And therefore, if we don't have it in front of us, we're going to assume it goes by the Rove. And they basically say, no, there's, you know, Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Chachamim, who say there is no Rove against the way Rabbi Yochanan, you have to say it's the way Rabbi Yochanan understood this case, that the debate was, is there a Rove here or not? And he says, we don't go by Rove here. You know, again, it's a question whether it's we don't go by the Rove because we don't follow the Rove, or we don't go by Rove because there is no Rove actually. So that Rove is not considered a case where we make it a Vadai, and therefore she wouldn't, again, would she be Tmei'ah if she touched something, so we wouldn't burn Truma because of that.